And welcome back to another edition of Hoopsburg, a college basketball podcast. My name is Eric Hall. Her name is Lauren Kirschman.
Hello.
And Lauren is back in town now after taking a brief vacation to Storrs, Connecticut, because everybody loves to go there.
It was wonderful, beautiful area with nothing in it.
Well, except basketball.
Lots of basketball.
And we'll talk about the Robert Morris women and Duquesne women, which Lauren covered. Coming up later in the podcast. But first, Pitt basketball made some news after losing in the NCAA tournament in their first round game against Wisconsin. Then they lost their coach. Jamie Dixon, of course, went to TCU, as we know by now. And Sean Miller isn't coming here. Archie Miller isn't coming here.
No. Adam Miller's, I think, at that point.
Heath Unless Miller.
John Miller wants the job.
Isn't coming here. John Miller, Glenn Miller, Mac Miller.
There will be no Millers.
There will be no Millers at Pitt. But we're now trying to figure out who will be the next coach at the University of Pittsburgh. And Lauren, in your story that is up online currently at timesonline.com, in print editions of the Beaver County Times, some ex-players put forth an interesting possibility.
Yeah, a lot of the ex-players, I would say the majority that I've seen on Twitter, are throwing their weight behind Brandon Knight, which isn't surprising because most of them either played with him or were coached by him. So he's someone they know really well and obviously really respect. I talked to three players this afternoon who just talked about how he can do for the program what people want to see. A lot of the arguments against Brandon that have been put out on the internet are basically that Pitt needs a fresh start and Pitt needs a big name and Pitt needs a guy that can come in here and change things. And the AD talked about how they need a guy that can go out and recruit. And basically the argument from these players that I'm talking to is, he's your guy, you already have him, you don't need to go look anymore. He said he's a great recruiter, the kids want to come play for him. One of the things Woodall said that was really interesting was that he said that assistants can go out and recruit as much as they want and parents and coaches can love the assistants, but if the head coach doesn't close, then they're not going to get the kid. And he said that Knight is not the problem, that kids want to play for Knight, and he's been very effective.
Are we to then draw the line then that they didn't want to play for Jamie Dixon?
I'm getting the idea that what he was saying there was that Dixon wasn't closing on these kids that Knight and the assistants were kind of setting up there for him. So his basically what they were saying was that Knight is a guy that's going to be able to go out and, as Scott Barnes said, recruit his tail off for this program. So they are definitely throwing their weight behind Knight.
Now, that is one hire that would not win the press conference, so to speak.
No.
That would bring about the same questions as when Jamie Dixon was hired 13 years ago, and I was there for that. Why is Pitt hiring an assistant with no head coaching acumen, no past in terms of that? His only high-level job was at Pitt as an assistant under Ben Holland for four seasons, two that were good and two that were not so good. But why are you hiring this guy, this unknown, when there are other people out there, because this has become a good job now?
Yeah.
So we're gonna hear those same things, and I think Jamie proved them wrong, those detractors at the time, because he put together a good program.
Yeah.
Again, stagnated, a little stale, whatever you want to say over the past few years. But there really is no denying that Jamie Dixon is a good basketball coach and did many, many good things at Pitt, has him at the level that I think they're at.
The thing that's interesting is I think people look at it like this program is stagnated, and then people have this idea, I think, that this program is a better job than it is. This isn't a top 10 job. You're not going to get Sean Miller to leave Arizona to come here.
No.
So the odds of getting a big name that people are going to be like, oh, yeah, like that guy, that's who we wanted, it's probably not going to happen, especially now that three of them have turned down the job.
Well, wait, three? Miller,
Miller.
Holland. Yes, Ben Holland. Yes, we mentioned him too. Yes. And of course, we don't know exactly, because there are conflicting reports, including some flat-out wrong ones, as to what degree that they're offering, discussing, questioning, interviewing these candidates. So we don't know, you know, if Ben Holland was actually offered the job, if he just would say, hey, would you be interested, and said no. You know, we're not quite sure where we're at with that, although I'd probably lean towards the side of, hey, Ben, are you interested? Yeah. No, thank you. Okay.
I would agree.
But and remember, when Jamie was hired, he was not their first choice.
No.
Skip Prosser was offered the job and turned it down. The Penn Hills native Skip Prosser, instead wanting to remain at Wake Forest. Of course, then Prosser died a couple years later. And Pitt, instead of moving on from Prosser with another major conference coach, another mid-major conference coach, they went with Jamie. Could this be where they have their sights set on, well, Sean Miller? I think they had sights set on Sean Miller. You know, obviously that didn't go very well in terms of him coming back to his alma mater. And they might have some sights set on some other people, but at some point they may find a realization is that we were going to hire Brandon Knight because he wants to be here.
Yeah, and I think he's proven that he wants to be here, and actually that might be something working against him, is the fact that he's been loyal to this program for 10 years, hasn't gone anywhere else, hasn't tried to get, as far as I know, as far as people know, another coaching job, that he's wanted to be here, and this is where he wanted to be, and now that the job is open, he doesn't have experience, why would you want that guy? So, I mean, it's kind of a shame for him that he was loyal to this program, and then that's the comments that he's getting now that the job is open, so... another thing Woodall pointed to was that he's the kind of guy that's going to bring excitement because he's young, and he's the guy that young players are going to want to play for. So take that for what it's worth as far as recruiting, that he's a young guy, he's a known guy, and he can have an impact that way because he can relate to them. And Woodall said that he's the kind of coach that players now want to play for.
Will this program take a step back?
I think that depends on who they hire. I think you can expect a few years of taking a step back, yes. I don't think, especially if you're bringing in somebody who's going to want to get his own players in here, who's going to want to change the system, that takes a while. That's not instant success. So if you get a guy in here who wants a bunch of players who are going to run, let's say, like Jim Ferry style, it's going to take a while to get them into this program and get everybody adjusted to the system.
Is there a happy medium? Can coaches just coach the players they have?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Do coaches do that?
They try sometimes, not really.
I think no matter who they bring in, you're going to have a little bit of a lull. If they don't, then it's a heck of a job. The one thing, though, that I would point to, if Pitt were to have a successful season next year, and I go successful by NCAA tournament appearance, I think that's, you know, would be that they have Michael Young coming back. They have Jamel Artis coming back. They have Cameron Johnson coming back. Sheldon Jeter coming back. They have a good core.
Dixon did not leave the cupboard bare.
He did not.
So I think, I don't know if next year will be the best measuring stick. I think you have to look then at the year after and see how he does with the, once Artis and Young are gone, kind of figuring out what he can do now. So yeah, I don't know if we'll know next year whether or not the new guy is going to take the program up a step or if it's going to take a step back. I think it might take a year or two to see what he does.
So give me your best guess.
My best guess.
I don't want you. Okay. Give me some potential candidates. Who are you hearing as possibilities? I don't want to throw this out there as they will interview these people because unless you know and you're not telling me because you probably should tell me that. But I mean, who are some potential names? I mean, we've seen some names bandied about. You know, Mark Schmidt from St. Bonaventure, former Robert Morris head coach, has Pittsburgh ties. His wife's from Pittsburgh. Was a top recruiter at Xavier. You know, St. Bonaventure was almost with death penalty in terms of their sanctions, you know, against that program, and he's brought them back to the NCAA tournament and probably should have been in this year. You know, so there's Mark Schmidt. We've heard Ben Jacobson from Northern Iowa, Of course, and the job he's done there, taking that team to the NCAA tournament multiple times. We've heard UNC Wilmington head coach Kevin Keats.
That's the guy I would point to as number one right now.
Okay, but also some past issues because he was an assistant in Louisville, which is right now going through that stripper scandal, which maybe make him hands off as well. Is there somebody out there that maybe we haven't heard of that maybe we should consider?
I mean, I think you hit on the ones. the one you didn't hit on is Will Wade from BCU.
Will Wade, yeah.
I think he's an interesting guy. He's young. He hasn't been there that long. So I think it's kind of the same argument you could use for a Brandon Knight type guy. Like, he hasn't really proven himself yet, but he has taken a team to the NCAA tournament. So he definitely has a little bit more experience as far as that goes. I don't know how much experience they're really looking for. Matt McCall from Chattanooga is another guy that's whose name has been brought up. But if I were Pitt, Kevin Keats would be my number one guy right now. I know that the Louisville stuff is a little concerning. He wasn't mentioned in the book. His name hasn't been mentioned at all as being a part of it. So as far as I know right now, he's clean as far as that goes. He was one of the most well-respected, most feared assistant coaches in the country. If they want a guy who's going to recruit his tail off, that's
the
your guy.
Yeah.
So I think I haven't heard anything as far as that they are going after him, but I think they should be.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic. AJ Chifazi and I were just discussing this yesterday and kind of the coaching carousel as we're talking about Andy Toole, Robert Morris as well. After a 12-20 season, Andy has been at least mentioned by one outlet as a possibility at Wright State on a list of about 10. And Wright State, a good, decent mid-major program, not that far up from where Robert Morris is in terms of their success. But I don't foresee him taking that job, one, although I've been wrong before, and two, getting a lot of looks this year because of what happened this year at Robert Morris. Not just the record, but just some of the defections and some of the issues that they've had and things like that. But we were just playing the what-if game, and what if Andy Toole went to Wright State? Then that leaves Robert Morris open.
Well, you know who'd be a good candidate for that job.
Before you go any further, we have not, folks listening to the podcast, all four of you, we have not, Lauren and I have not talked about this, not discussed this. It's brought up off the cuff, okay?
Yes.
And I was going to say, guess who we mentioned? So I want to see if Lauren can guess who we mentioned here.
Brandon Knight?
No.
Really? Who are you talking about then?
Mike Rice.
Oh, yes. They would never do it.
You don't think so?
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, obviously, there's nothing to talk about because Andy Toole is the head coach and there's nothing to talk about. But I had mentioned him. I even threw his name out. AJ mentioned him at Robert Morris saying that'd be a good landing spot for him to come back in college basketball. I mentioned him at Pitt.
I don't think they'd do it either.
Nah, they probably wouldn't.
Somebody is eventually going to do it and they'll probably be really successful. But I don't see somebody who's had him or on their staff before bringing him back.
Among a few detractions of Mike, obviously the Rutgers scandal and things like that, I think he runs a very defensive style, as you know we've seen Robert Morris do, and I think they're just not saying sick of that type of mentality in terms of a basketball program, but it's just too similar to what Jamie ran. He was under Jamie assistant for a year. He's a heck of a recruiter, has a ton of contacts in Philly and Jersey, I think that he's going to be a good coach when he gets back into the game. Pitt won't consider him, but you know, I think for my own entertainment, I'd like to see him back in because I think he's a good coach. I really do.
He obviously
worked wonders at Robert Morris. They won 25 games a year when he was there. They should have been in Villanova in the tournament, Mike at some point will get back into the college game, I think. Let's turn our attention to the NCAA tournament from the women's side. And Lauren, you were at Storrs and saw two games that were decided by an average of about 50 points. So I'm sorry about that. But you did get to see the machine, as you called them, that is UConn.
Yes, I did. And they are every bit as good as advertised. Pretty sure they are a machine. I'm not entirely sure. Everybody on that TV team.
Brianna Stewart, a little robotic.
She is absurd. She has the longest arms I've ever seen. Like, it's
longer than DeJuan Blair?
It's close. She had one possession against Duquesne where she had like three blocks in a row and like I don't think she moved. She just like but yeah, UConn, nobody's beating that team. They're going to roll through this tournament.
I hope you're wrong, if only for my purely entertainment purposes wager of the field.
Yeah. I don't think that's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's a long shot, but they're, you know, what the heck.
Yeah. But Duquesne put up a fight for about a quarter, so that's something to be proud of. It actually is against UConn, something to be proud of. They came out and they put up a good fight there for a quarter. They had the lead midway through the first quarter, which is pretty impressive. And then UConn went on 22-4-1. And that was that.
That'll do it. UConn's only trailed once at halftime all season, right?
Yes.
So that
and
is...
And they've won every game by double digits.
By double digits. So that's quite impressive for Duquesne. To make that stand. Robert Morris not so lucky, down 40-4 after the first quarter.
Yeah, Robert Morris came out, and what Duquesne did is handled their pressure decently well. Robert Morris could not handle UConn's pressure. They were too fast, and they were too long, and they were just getting their hands on
every pass. Yes. As I'm watching the Robert Morris game, I'm thinking, just shoot threes.
Yeah.
That's all you got. You're not going to get it inside. You're not going to run your playbook. You know, get someone, pop someone out, get a screen, pop someone out for a three, and hope. Yeah. And hope. And of course, they didn't do that. They're running their playbook. But to me, that's the only way to beat this team as a Robert Morris, as a Duquesne. You know, you just have to three them to death. And maybe somebody listened to me at some point. I don't know. But I think the star of the show was Sal Biscaglia, though.
Yeah, made quite an impression on the Connecticut media, on the national media that was there. It was unsurprising to those of us that have covered him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Especially when he gets on the podium, or
when he gets on stage, he knows what he wants to say. Yep. So he got out there and gave his cover women's athletic speech, which is great, and made quite the impression. Kind of had everybody talking about him there for the rest of the day. Nobody wanted to talk about UConn anymore. Everybody was sick of talking about UConn, so that's what they talked about.
He did the same thing 2 years ago in Notre Dame, except this time he wasn't retiring, but he was talking about Artemis Benu and her leaving and just that whole program. And he's a crier. We'll put it that way. He's a crier. But we're going to miss Sal. We're going to miss Sal calling me. You know, every week asking me why we didn't cover the game. And, he was a good coach and he's a good man.
Yeah, he definitely is.
So we will certainly miss Sal. I know he'll be around though when he's not.
He's probably still going to call you every week.
Probably. This time it'll just be from the beach. So good for Sal and a good career for him. Well, we're not going to be able to talk too much about our brackets. I was hopeful that's what this show would be about, but we have other news we had to discuss and other things.
My bracket's dead, so.
Well, I would say 95% of the brackets are. however, in our little work poll for entertainment only, of course, we're rooting for Oklahoma.
Okay.
So just give Boomer Sooner. Come on.
Texas A&M is in my phone.
Boomer Sooner.
Okay.
Are you're not in the poll, right?
No.
Come on, you can root for me then. How many people though burned their brackets after Michigan State lost?
Everybody. We watched that in the from the media room in stores. I think everybody there was like, "Well, my bracket's dead."
But everybody had them.
Yep.
So at least winning games. I mean, if you say, oh, they were in my Elite Eight, you know, but I had Virginia in the Final Four, you just had a great bracket right now. Because everybody had them going to at least Elite Eight, but a lot of people had them winning the title. A lot of people had them in the Final Four.
I did.
Right. I did, too, on one of them. But the other one I had Virginia. It's also the one I have Oklahoma in. So, Boomer Sooner. But, so, yeah, maybe they shouldn't have thrown away those brackets so quickly, because if Virginia ends up winning the title and you have Virginia, now you have a great chance of winning your poll.
That is very true.
So that being said, we did have, what, Northern Iowa? Well, I had Northern Iowa. We both had – I had Yale. Did you have Yale?
I did not have Yale, but you know who I did have?
Stephen F. Austin.
No, Little Rock.
Ah, Little Rock, yes.
That was my best call of the entire tournament, Little Rock.
I also had Wichita State.
I had Wichita State, but I have them in the Sweet 16.
Yes, but we had those ones. No one picked Middle Tennessee. No. We'll say Middle Tennessee played in a better league than what typically gets a 15 seed, Conference USA. They were the third place team in it, and you know, I didn't think that they were going to beat Michigan State. I'm not surprised that
Michigan State did either.
Played with them,
the
but
problem.
Yes. But other than that, it was a pretty interesting weekend.
It was a fun weekend.
Started out anti-chalk and kind of finished up chalk, except for
Pitt West.
Your favorite team, Gonzaga.
They proved me wrong. I have been proven wrong.
Well, next week we'll try to see if we can make the questions easier so Lauren can be right.
I have a new coach to talk about, maybe.
Maybe. If not, we'll still talk about the Pitt coaching search. And
it still won't be Sean Miller.
And the Final Four. And it still won't be Sean Miller. It still won't be Archie Miller. And it won't be John Miller. So we got those three out. And it won't be Ben Howland.
So.
And I don't know if Doc Carlson is available at this point. So but we'll find that out for next week. As always, listen to us on iTunes. Download us from iTunes or Stitcher or SoundCloud, or go to timesonline.com and click on the podcast link. For Lauren Kirschman, I'm Eric Hall. Next week, we'll be back with Hoopsburg, a college basketball podcast.